This is the Daf Yomi Masechta Review, Masechta Eruvin, tape number 1. For subscription information about the Daf Yomi Masechta Review, please contact Daf Yomi Tapes, PO Box 831, Muncie, New York, 10952, or call us at 1-888-DAF-YOMI. This tape is dedicated in memory of Rav Shmuel Pinchas ben Rav Yehuda Arya Halevi Heber, Zecher Tzadik Livracha. A Magid Shia is Rabbi Yossi Heber.
The Aruch Laner, in his Hakdama to Masechta Nida, brings down the Zayar, which says that Mashiach will come to us Ka'ani Reichev Al HaChamor. And Ani, Ayin Nun Yud, stands for the three most difficult Masechtas in Shas, Erevin, Nida, and Yevamos, i.e., Mashiach will come in the Schus of those in Klal Yisrael who are Amal Bataira in these very difficult Masechtas, Erevin, Nida, and Yevamos. An important Sefer, which can simplify Masechtas Erevin, is a Sefer called Perush Chai, which beautifully illustrates all the important klalim, daf by daf, in our Masechta. If you look at each picture, the Masechta comes alive visually and makes it much easier to comprehend. Let us begin our introduction to this Masechta with a summary of the Dalad Rishuyais, the four types of domains which exist. Before we discuss these, we should mention a number of measurements which we're going to use throughout the entire Masechta. When we say tefach, we mean a measurement of about 3.8 inches. And when we mention amma, we mean a measurement of about 22 inches, which is actually equal to about 6 tvachim, or almost 2 feet. We know that it is osur to carry on Shabbos, and haitzah, carrying, means to transport an object from a rishus hayachid, a private domain, to a rishus harabim, an open public domain, or to be able to carry vice versa. Transporting from a private domain to a public domain is called haitzah, carrying out, while carrying in reverse is called hachnasa, carrying in. In addition, we know that it's osur to carry any distance of dalat amos within a rishus harabim. Now let's define these different rishuyas. There are four of them. There is a rishus harabim, a public domain, a rishus hayachit, a private domain, a karmelis, which is a semi-public domain, and a makam ptur, an area which is not called a domain at all. A rishus harabim is an area that is both suitable and also actually used by a multitude of people. For example, a road running through a city. In order for something to be considered a rishus harabim, you need the following qualifications. Number one, the area or the road must be at least 16 amas wide. Number two, the area must not be covered, but has to be open from above. Number three, the area must not be surrounded by walls. And finally, number four, the area must be used by a multitude of people. Later on, we're going to discuss what this multitude means, but many shitas hold that the road has to be used by at least 600,000 people. The second area is an area called a rishus hayachid, a private domain. Rishus hayachid is an area suitable for use by an individual because it's enclosed. A house or a garden are typical forms of rishus hayachid. The qualifications of a rishus hayachid are as follows. The overall ground area must be at least 4x4 tefachim. Number two, the area must be surrounded by walls. It has to be enclosed by walls that are at least 10 tefachim high on all four sides. And finally, number three, a rishus hayachid does not have to necessarily be privately owned, even if it's publicly owned, but if it meets these qualifications, it's still called a rishus hayachid. Area number three is called a karmelis, and this is an innovation of Chazal. Min HaTorah, there is really only a rishus hayachid and a rishus harabim. However, Chazal upgraded an area which has a ground area of at least 4x4 tefachim and made it into a new type of domain called a karmelis. Examples of a karmelis would be a road which lacks the specifications of a rishus harabim and therefore is called a karmelis. For example, it's less than 16 amas wide, or it runs under a bridge and therefore is covered. Also, the wilderness and the ocean, since they aren't frequented by a lot of people, are also called a karmelis. An area which is min ha-Torah rishus hayachid, it's surrounded by three walls, but it's not walled in by the fourth side. This could also be called a karmelis. Finally, a makam ptur is a tiny area of less than 4x4 tvachim, which is within a rishus harabim. For example, a garbage can, which is standing in a rishus harabim, this would be called a makam ptur. We know that min haTorah it is usur to carry in any area defined as a rishus harabim. Chazal extended this isur to include any unenclosed area, including a karmelis. However, if any area is not a full-fledged rishus harabim midaraisa, we are allowed to enclose that area by building what we call an eruv. What we call an eruv is really a device called a tsuris hapesach, literally the form of a doorway. A lechi, which is a vertical pole on the left, another lechi on the right, and a kana, a horizontal beam or a wire on top connecting the two luchayayim. Our mesechta is divided into three parts. The first two prakim deal with the halachas of mechitzas. A key feature of a rishus hayachid, as we mentioned before, a private domain, is the fact that there are partitions which surround it. Obviously, every enclosed area must have ways to get in and out. The issues discussed are how large or small these entrances can be, and when a break in the wall is called an entrance, versus when it is called a pirtza, a break, which may passel that mechitza. The third, fourth, and fifth perek deal with eruvei tchumin. Min haTorah, we know that on Shabbos, it is also for a person to walk more than 2,000 amas. The 2,000 amas border is called his tchum Shabbos, and it is calculated from the place that he was at Bein HaShemashos, the Mokum Shvisa. If he began Shabbos in a city, he can traverse the entire city, and the 2,000 amma calculation only begins from the city limits going out to the countryside. It is possible, however, for a person to formally establish his Mokum Shvisa in a place other where he actually is standing. This is done by making an Eruv Tchumen at a location up to 2,000 amas away from the place that he actually is by the time of Bein HaShemashos. And this legally establishes his Mokum Shvisa at that location and enables him to go from his actual location to that point and 2,000 amas beyond that point. This, of course, does not give him more than 2,000 amas, which is the limit. It merely shifts the point from where it's actually measured. And there's two ways to create an Eruv Tchumen. Number one, by going to that place and staying there until Shabbos begins. And number two, placing a specific amount of food at that location before Shabbos. The place where the food has been placed now becomes his Mokum Shvisa. The rest of the Masechta deals with the halachas of Eruvei Chatzeres. In addition to building an Eruv, i.e. a Tzuris HaPesach, if a group of homes is owned by many Jews, it is necessary to make an Eruv Chatzeres. This procedure allows us to view all the houses opening into a Chatzer as owned by a single consortium of people, composed of all the residents of the Chatzer. This is accomplished by collecting a loaf of bread before Shabbos from each of the dwellings which open into that Chatzer, and placing it in one of those homes for the duration of the Shabbos. This then symbolizes that all the contributing residents are legally residing in one dwelling, the place where they left their bread. In the times of the Mishnah, several homes would open up into one chatzer, into one courtyard, which would be shared by many people. Then, several chatzeros would open up into a mavoi, a small alleyway, which would then lead onto a main street, which is the Rishus HaRabim. You can still see this type of a setup of chatzeros and mavuyos in parts of Yerushalayim or in the ghetto in Venice, Italy. Now, there were two different types of mavuyos. One was a mavoi mefulash, and one was a mavoi sasum. When you walk through this passageway, obviously, on both sides of the passageway, as you walk through the passageway, to the left and to the right, there were walls. These were the backs of houses or the backs of courtyards. But if the mavoi was mefulash, that meant that there was a direct passageway that led between two rishus harabims. So the mavoi was open from both ends. The two sides had walls, but both ends were open. If the mavoi was sasum, it meant that the mavoi would dead end on one side, and the other side would lead into a rishus harabim. So a mavoi mefulash had two walls, with both ends opening up into a rishus harabim, and a mavoi sasum had three walls, with just the fourth side opening up into a rishus harabim. Min haTorah we know that the Isser of Haitzah on Shabbos is only an Isser in carrying from Rishus HaRabim to Rishus HaYachid, or a Tolda of carrying within a Rishus HaRabim, Dalet Amos. Technically, Midaraisa, a Mavoi is Mutter to carry in. It's only Midarabanan that it's Osir to carry in a Mavoi. This is because they were guys of this, they were afraid that a person would end up carrying in a Rishus HaRabim. So what could one do to create some kind of a Tikkun on the open side within a Mavoi to allow a person to carry? To carry in a mavoi, Chazal said you need a tikkun on the open side of the mavoi. That tikkun can be either a lechi, a vertical stick more than 10 tefachim high, adjacent to the wall of the mavoi, or a kaira, a horizontal beam across the entrance of the Mavoi. In a chotzer, the Chachamim were more machmer, and they said that on the fourth side you need a lechi, but not a regular lechi. The lechi has to be at least four tvachim wide, or shtei lechayayim, one lechi on each side of the fourth side, which is open. For both a Mavoi and a chotzer, the Chachamim said you could also make a tzuras ha-pesach, the form of a door, as you mentioned before. This would be two lechayayim, one on each side, and a kana attaching them. This is what we in fact use today to make what we call an eruf, lechi mikan, the lechi mikan, the kera al gabayim, which is what we see in Shulchan Aruch, Simen Shin Samach Beis, Sif Yud Aleph. Now today, when we speak about making an eruf in a major metropolitan area, the big issue is whether the city is called a Rishus HaRabim or a Karmelis. As you mentioned before, what we call an eruf is really a device called a Tzuras HaPesach. This Tzuras HaPesach will only work to partition a Karmelis. But if an area of a city, or if a city itself is called a Rishus HaRabim Daraisa, even this Tzuras HaPesach will not work, and it will be impossible to build an eruf. This discussion of Rishus HaRabim is the basis for all the halachic discussions we discussed in the 1990s. And although time does not allow us to go through the dozens of shitas on this subject, let us try to cover the main points. As we will learn in Erevin Davvavam and Beis, the Gemara says, Amar Rabba Bar Bar Chana, Amar Rabbi Yechanan, Yerushalayim Il Mole Dal Seiseha Nin Alais Balayla, Chayavin Aleha Mishum Rishus HaRabim. If the doors of Yerushalayim were not closed at night, and one carried on Shabbos, he would be chayav for Haitza on Shabbos, since he carried in a Rishus HaRabim, i.e., since Yerushalayim had wide avenues, which were mefulash, which were open, they were both open at both ends of the city, even though it was a walled city, if the doors were open, this is called a Rishus HaRabim. That's why the doors had to be closed. The Rambam in Hilcha Shabbos says that any road which is 16 amos wide and has no roof is called a Rishus HaRabim. So the Rambam is very machmir in a city that has wide boulevards, because this would be called a Rishus HaRabim. Since it's a Rishus HaRabim, you would not be able to build an Erev, a Tzuras HaPesach, but you would have to have doors which must be closed at night, Dlosais. Rashi here, and Tosfos in Shabbos, Daf Vav Amud Beis, are more makel, and they say that in order for something to be called a Rishus HaRabim, we need an additional criterion. This criterion is the presence of 600,000 people, which is like the Bnei Yisrael were in the Midbar. Without the 600,000 people, you only have a Karmelis, not a Rishus HaRabim, and a Tzuras HaPesach would be mutter even lechatchila. Now, this 600,000, does it have to be there sometimes, or does it have to always be there? The Rosh and the Smag hold that it must be shishim riboy b'chol yayim. The Rashba says anytime. What if someone is in a car? Do they count towards the 600,000? Some say yes, and some say no, since a car itself might be Rishus HaYochid. Vis-a-vis the Achreinim, we should mention three famous shitas, which play roles in much of the halacha lemaisa of today. One is the shita of the Beis Ephraim, Rabbi Ephraim Zalman Margolius, a famous paisik in Poland in the late 1700s, the shita of the Chazon Ish, and the shita of Rav Moshe Feinstein. In the Kuntres Erevin in modern metropolitan areas, written by Yosef Gabriel Bechaver, he says that it seems that the generally accepted approach today is that of the Beis Ephraim. The Beis Ephraim and the Mishkanes Yaakov argue the case of Erevin in modern metropolitan areas. Their tshuvas provide the main resource of material, both the Kula, which is the Beis Ephraim, and the Chumra, which is the Mishkanes Yaakov, on this subject. The approach of the Beis Ephraim is that the criteria of 600,000 consists of three conditions. Number one, mitsuyim, that 600,000 people should be present in the area. Number two, baikim, that they should frequently travel along the specific street in question. And number three, b'choyim, that it's possible that they might all travel on that street in one day. The Chazon Ish, in a very interesting chiddush lahalacha, provides the halachic basis for allowing the construction of Erevin in many areas that might otherwise be precluded from enclosure by an Erev. Two general issues considered in the discussions of the Gemara in Masechtas Erevin are Asu Rabim Muvatle Mechitzta, whether the passage of many people through a wall renders it invalid, and Oimim Meruba Ala Paretz Ka'amad Dami, whether an area whose perimeter is mostly enclosed may be considered wholly enclosed. The Chazon Ish basically says that when a street, which is a Rishus HaRabim, is obstructed at some point by a wall or a building that either ends the street or causes it to deviate significantly from a straight line, it then loses its status of a Rishus HaRabim Midaraisa. A straight street only has two walls on either side of it. When, however, the street is obstructed by a building, then the building essentially becomes this third wall, qualifying it as a Rishus HaYochid Midaraisa. Based on this, the Chazon Ish builds an extraordinary chiddush. A city in which at least one street ends in an obstructed dead end does not have a halacha of Rishus HaRabim Midaraisa. From this we derive that in our day and age, all the marketplaces and roads, and even the greatest cities, are truly only Rishus HaYachid Midaraisa. And therefore, they can be rectified with the Tzuras HaPesach. You wouldn't need Dlosais, and therefore you can build a regular Tzuras HaPesach and an Erev, as we call it today. Rabbi Moshe Feinstein, in Igros Moshe Arachayim Chelek Aleph, Simon Kuf Lametes, says as follows. In a city that contains a total of 600,000 people, every street, which is more than 16 amos wide, is considered Rishus HaRabim Midaraisa. In later Chuvas in Arachayim Chelek Dalad, Simon Pei Zayin, Pei Ches, and Pei Tes, Rav Moshe further clarifies his approach. He says that to assume that 600,000 people frequent the streets of a city must be inhabited by 4 to 5 times that amount of people. He refines this approach by stating two limitations. Areas included in municipal boundaries, but separated by geographical barriers, for example, Manhattan, which is separated from Brooklyn by a river, are not to be combined in the halachic tally. And a city whose municipal boundaries are very broad is not measured as one unit. Every 12 mil by 12 mil, which is approximately 8 miles by 8 miles, is measured separately. The rationale underlying this ruling is that the encampment of Klal Yisrael in the Midbar, the source of the halachas of Haitzah and Rishuyas, was of such dimensions, Yud Beis Mil al Yud Beis Mil. These are therefore the defining dimensions of Rishus HaRabim. Based on these interpretations, given the high population density of Manhattan and Flatbush, Rav Moshe Zecher Tzadik Livracha, Aser, is building an Erev in these areas. On the other hand, in Chelek Dalad, Simon Pei Vav, he is Matir and Erev in Kew Garden Hills, Queens. There are two additional points we should mention, which are very Nogea Halacha L'maisa. One is the rule of Tzuras HaPesach Min Hatzad. The basis for all of our Eruvim today is the Tzuras HaPesach, the form of a doorway, which includes Tulachayim, vertical posts, attached by a kana, a horizontal beam or wire. This tikkun is learned Halacha L'maisa Mi-Sinai. But the Halacha L'maisa Mi-Sinai teaches us that this horizontal connecting wire must pass directly on top of each lechi, not on the side of the lechi. If the kana passes on the side, the Tzuras HaPesach would be pasul, because Tzuras HaPesach min hatzad is a psul in an Erev. The second point is the klal of Lavud, a rule which we will see all over Masechta Erevin, as well as in Masechta Sukkah. Lavud says that a lechi, a beam, or schach, which is situated within 3 tvachim of a different object, we say that it is like it is attached to that other item. Okay, that's our Hakdama. Now let's begin Masechta Erevin with the first Mishnah on Daf Beis Amud Aleph. The Mishnah here, which talks about a mavui, and the mavui that which we're talking about in this Mishnah is a mavui sasam, which is open only at one end. And we say that this is taller than 20 amos. If it's taller than 20 amos, it's not kasha. It can only be up to 20 amos. Rabbi Yehuda says it's kasha even if it's more than 20 amos. And we also say that if it's more than 10 amos wide, it's also no good. You have to make it smaller, so it should not be 10 amos wide. But then we say, in this case, if there's a Tzuras HaPesach, even if it's more than 10 amos wide, it's kasher anyway. The Gemara brings down that a sukkah, which is more than 20 amos tall, i.e. that the schach is above 20 amos, the sukkah is pasul. The Gemara then says, the Chachamim learned the shear of the opening of a mavui. In other words, that the fact that it can't be more than 10 amos wide or 20 amos high, this was learned from the Pesach of the Heichal. And according to Rabbi Yehuda, he learns that it can be up to 40 amos high. He learns this from the fact that the Heichal and the Ulam were Kedusha Achasi. Therefore, since the Ulam was 40 amos high, same thing you could equate the Heichal. Therefore, even a mavui can be up to 40 amos high and it's still kasher with a kaira on top of it. We then say that the Mishkan was equal to the Migdash. And we then say that the Mizbeach was 10 tall. The Kalayim, the curtains, were 5 above that, which meant that the whole thing was 15 tall. This is the Shita of Rashi. Then the Gemara asks, how are you able to be Mesakin, the doorway of a Mavoi? Beis Shammai says you need a Lechi, Vikaira. So you need both a Lechi and a Kaira. You need both a vertical pole and a horizontal beam on top. And Beis Hillel says you can have either a lechi or a kaira. Daf Gimel. In order for a kaira, this horizontal beam, to be kosher, it has to be strong enough to either hold bricks or it has to be at least 4 tvachim wide. I think Gemara says that the Pesach of the Ulam had 5 amal tera'os. Amal tera'os are decorations which were above the entrance to the Ulam. And still we learned that the whole thing was only 20 amos high. So you see that the Amal Terais didn't make any difference. The fact the Amal Terais were part of that, still they were below 20 amos. Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak brings down Kairei Tamamai. What is the reason we need a Kaira on top?
We say Mishum Hakera. A person will be makir, he'll recognize the fact that there's a kara on top. It will remind him that this is part of something else, and he'll realize not to carry out into the Rishus Harabim. So according to him, a Mavi can't be more than 20 amas high, not because of the Heichal, but because he won't be able to see it, and he won't be able to recognize the kara on top, as the Gemara uses the term Lo Shalta B'Einav. In that kind of a case, if it's more than 20 amas high, then you would need a Tzuras HaPesach. We also have the same machlokes about 20 amas in by a sukkah. According to Rabbi Yehuda, even if it's more than 20 amas high, it's okay. But according to the Rabbanan, the maximum is 20 amas because leishalta b'yenav. We bring down the pasuk leman yedu darisechem ki basukah yisayshafti yisbnei Yisrael. Leman yedu, meaning a person has to be aware that he's going into a sukkah and he should be able to see the schach on top. But if it goes over 20 amas, he wouldn't be yedu anymore. In Shulchan Aruch, Shin Samach Gimel, Sif Chaf Vav, we paskin like Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak, that even if it's over 20 amas high, normally it's not kosher if it goes over 20 amas high, but there are two exceptions to this. One is if you have a kaira with an amaltera on top, then it can be over 20 amas. Why? Because the amaltera itself acts as a hakera. Or if you have a tzuras ha-pesach, in both of those two cases it can be over 20 amas, otherwise you cannot go over 20 amas by a kaira. The Gemara then brings down Miktzis Kaira or Miktzis Schach Yoisir Michaf. Let's say part of the Kaira or part of the Schach goes over 20. Basically, it's under 20, but part of it goes over. Then we say by a case of a Kaira, it's kosher. By a case of a Sukkah, it's Pasul. Why? Because by a Kaira, we say the Klal of Kloish. We could actually thin out, if we wanted to be able to cut down this thick, let's say the Kaira is fairly thick, we could thin it out to the point so that the bottom of the kara, whatever is left over after we thin it out, falls below the 20. Therefore, since it's possible to do that by a kara, it's okay. However, by sukkah, you can't say klesh, because if you end up saying klesh, you'll be left with virtually no schach, and it'll end up that chamasa is meruba mitzilasa. And since we know by sukkah, if there's more sun that's able to get in more than the shade, it's pasul. So you can't say klesh by a sukkah. Therefore, by a sukkah, even if part of it goes over the 20, it's not kosher. Ravina gives a different answer. He says by a sukkah we're dealing with a deraisa. Therefore we're machmer by a sukkah. But Mavi is mirabon, and therefore we go lekula. We paskin like Rava that both of them, both by a sukkah and by a mavi, if part of it goes over 20 amas, it's kosher anyway. Then we have the gemara of what exactly is the shear of an amma. We say that amas mavi and amas of a sukkah, we go lehachmer. There's a question of whether an amma is 5 tvachim or 6 tvachim. In those cases, we go lahachmer and we say that they are 5 tvachim. But amas klayim, we go lahachmer and we say that they are 6 tvachim. How this ends up working out basically is we always go lahachmer, meaning to say when we're dealing with cases of maximums, we say 5 tvachim is the shear. And when we're dealing in cases of minimums, we say 6 tvachim becomes the shear. We then say that a daifin akuma by sukkah, daifin akuma is, if you look from the top, looking down onto the schach of the sukkah, if there's a space between the schach kasher of the sukkah and the daifin, the walls of the sukkah, that is more than dalet amas. So what you have is a lot of space that's closed off on the top, completely closed off, but schach is sort of in the middle. As long as there is less than dalet amas between where the schach ends and the point of the walls, it's kasher. Otherwise, it's pasul. It goes more than dalet amas. In that case, we use the shear of 5 tvachim. Then we'd bring down the Shita of Rava, which is how we paskin that all amas are considered an amma bas shisha tvachim. We use 6 tvachim as the shear for an amma, and incidentally a tefach is equal to dalet etzbois. However, we could vary the size of the tefach. We always use 6 tvachim. We can vary the size of a tefach to either use tvachim that are seichakais, which are loose fingers of a person, or savais, which are tight fingers of a person. The Gemara brings down a number of cases regarding kelayim, karachas hakerem, and mechel hakerem. Karachas hakerem is a case of an empty space in the middle, and mechel hakerem is a space on the side of the kerem. This basically is talking about when you plant one kind of vegetable, and now you want to plant something else. What is the space that you need within the kerem to leave before planting something else? According to Beis Hillel, you need 12 amas. According to Beis Shammai, you need 16 amas. Daf Dalet. Kol amma bas shisha. Chutz me amma yisoid hamizbeach. All amas are considered bas shisha tvachim, except we say the Amma, the Yusayid, which is the foundation of the Mizbeach, that was an Amma, which was only 5 Tvachim. And the Gemara then says, all Shiurim, Shiurim Chatzitza, Machitza, Achila, etc., are all Halacha L'Moshe Misina. And the Gemara asks, aye, this is not true. We have numerous Psukim, Mamish in the Torah, which prove that some of these Shiurim are not Halacha L'Moshe Misina, because we have Psukim Beferish in the Torah. For example, the Pasuk of Eretz Chita Sa'ira, talking about the Shiva Minim, from this we learn, for example, Ta'ena. One of the Shiva Minim is Ta'ena. And from Ta'ena we learn the Shiur of Hoitzah is Kegregris. Also, we know Zayas, for example, which is one of the Shiva Minim, we learn the Shiur of Kezayas. We also know Kol Besare, which the Pasuk of the Torah teaches you that the Shiur of Mikvah is Arbaim Sa, 40 Sa, and Chatzitza regarding hair. We also know that Hashamayim Shamayim Lashem, we learn that a Shiur of a Mechitza is 10 Tvachim. How do we see this? Because the Aron was 1.5 Amos, which is 9 Tvachim, and the Kaparis was 1 Tapach. That's a total of 10 Tvachim. And since the Shechina only touched the top of the Kaparis, then there was a Mechitza of 10 Tvachim between the Shechina and the Aretz. Hashamayim Shamayim Lashem, the Aretz, the Sam Livnei Adam, the distance between the Shechina and the Aretz was a total of 10 Tvachim. So we see from all this that a lot of this is Midaraisa. So why are we saying it's only Halacha L'Moshe Misina? The Gemara basically says that this particular pasuk is only an asmachta bialma. Really, it is halacha l'moshe misinei, but these are just asmachtas. Let's say, for example, a kare is more than 20 amas. So, how do you solve this problem? The Gemara offers a suggestion. What you could do is you could actually raise the floor up a little bit, so that now it's going to be less than 20 amas. If it's 21 amas and you raise the floor slightly, one amma, now you're down to 20. So the question is, how far inward does he have to actually raise the floor to be yaitz of this, so he's now less than 20 amas? This is a machlokes Rabbi Yosef and Abaye. Rabbi Yosef says 1 tafach, and Abaye says 4 tafachim. This machlokes is basically tali, and the machlokes if you're allowed to carry mamish under a kaira. Rabbi Yosef says yes, you're allowed to carry it under a kaira. Therefore, as long as you have 1 tafach inward, that's already fine. We actually pass me yes in Shin Samach Gimel, that you are allowed to carry under a kare. Or we say, it's told in the machlekes, if kare is mishum heker or mishum mechitza. Is the purpose of a kare so a person should be able to be makir and recognize that he's about to walk into a Rosh Hashanah, or is it because of a mechitza? And since Rabbi Yosef holds that it's mishum heker, that's why he says you only need 1 tefach. Dafhe. Let's say, for example, you have just the opposite case. Instead of it being taller than 20 amas, now it's shorter than 10 tvachim. But this is actually a bigger question, because not only is it shorter than 10 tvachim, which makes the entranceway no good, now you have no mechitzas either, because the entire mavui is now shorter than 10 tvachim. So how far into the mavui would a person have to dig to get the vertical distance, the vertical height of the mavui higher than 10 tvachim? Rabbi Yosef says you have to dig into it 4 tvachim, and Abaye says you have to dig 4 amas. The Gemara then continues with complex shakla v'tarya on what exactly the svaras of machlokes are between Rabbi Yosef and Abaye. Later on, the Gemara then mentions a mavui which has a breach in it, and the breach is on the side of the mavui. In other words, there's now a breach, a break in the wall, on one of the side walls of the mavui, and this break is fairly close to the front entrance of the mavui. Klape Raisha, as the Gemara calls it. So we say, as long as there's a piece left over of at least Dalet Tvachim, so then you could have a breach in the wall as big as 10 Amas, and the Mavui is still kosher. Still a good Mavui, and you could still put up something, a Simen, or put up a Kaira, or whatever, in order to make it a kosher, a Mavui, to be able to carry it. So what's basically happening here in this wall is the breach is almost right at the front. It's on the side wall, but it's almost touching the entranceway to the mavui. So as long as this perpendicular piece that connects the side wall together with the kara at the entrance of the mavui is at least 4 tvachim, the breach running down the side of the mavui can be as long as 10 amas long, and it's still okay. Now, why is this so? If you have a breach that big, you now have an alternate entrance way to the mavui. So why should it be kosher? Because we basically say, since this area of four tvachim, which is now left on the wall, on the side part of the wall, that together with the kara already constitutes a kosher amavoy. Because you have a kara in the front, and you have a wall which is now four tvachim long along the side. So even if there's a breach, it shouldn't really matter, because now you already have a kosher amavoy. And since you have a kosher amavoy, this kara, which is now the front entranceway, technically, is the only way into this mavoy, as it relates to the four tvachim that are left over on the side. So what's going on the side with the 10 amas and the breach really doesn't matter. Although that is an alternate entranceway to the mavoy, but it's not an alternate entranceway in regard to the four tvachim that are left. Because if you took away the entire mavoy, the fact that you have the four tvachim left there on the side, that would already be a kashra mavoy.